So, let's just talk about the recent DVD you guys released. It was recorded a couple of years ago. Why did it took a while to be released?
Yeah, we recorded it in 205, and a little background is the end of actually Christmas of 203, had back surgery, so we hadn't been doing shows, and we got a call about doing a show at the Olympic Auditorium, which in the 80s, middle 80s, early 80s, had like that was the only place where they had a really big punk rock alternative kind of shows and that nowhere else would do, and quite notorious shows. We played there twice, I think in 84 and 85. And anyhow, it hadn't had shows in a long time, and they were selling the venue, and I was getting converted into a Korean church. And so basically, the promoter had talked to the old owners, and they said, "Yeah, we'll do one more show." And he said, "What about if it's suicidal?" And I said, "No worries." So it was one that we had to do it then or not do it. And since we hadn't done any shows, we were like, going, well, it's a good excuse to try to, check out the back and stuff. And at the same time, we got an opportunity to headline a festival in Colombia 2 weeks before. So we said, well, let's do the festival, and then we'll do, this show. And so we did a festival in Colombia, 95,000 people, insane, all that stuff. And the day before the Olympic show, woke up and I couldn't walk,
Oh.
and which I knew was not a good thing. And basically, because we couldn't postpone the show, we wouldn't be able to move it at another time. That was the only date that we could do it, and we were already committed to filming it, and we decided to film it because we said, hey, you know what, this is going to be the last show ever at the Olympic. And then the irony was that I go, I could either go to the a neurosurgeon, or I'll wait till after the show. And I went out the day after the show, and he said, you got to have surgery again. And it went from filming it because it was going to be the last show at the Olympic ever to, wow, we just filmed the last suicidal show ever. And so at that time, people were like going, wow, you're lucky you filmed it. It was the last show. You need to put it out. And I'm like, you know what? I don't want to put it out as the last suicidal show ever. And it wasn't that I didn't believe that it was. I just didn't. That's not why we recorded it, and I just didn't like the idea of that, And so we held on to it because of that. Whereas I think that if we were doing other shows, we would have put it out sooner. And then when after the second back surgery, funny thing happened. I felt better than I ever had, and so we got an opportunity to do some more shows, and said, well, let's play festivals in Australia, which is, my favorite place in the world, and well, let's give it a shot. And the neurosurgeon said, no, go ahead and do it. And so we did that. In the last 2 years, we've been touring, and I'm kind of a skeptic, and I think that if there was an older band and someone had a couple back surgeries, if I went and saw them, I'd expect to see some, the old guy crippling around, and and feel sorry for them and going, shaking my head like, give it up, dude. And so I think for us, we wanted to go out there and basically get the suicidal people, remind them why they love the band, and get the following going full on before we put something out, and to prove that, we think we're better than we ever were, and we're not, just out there for sympathy. And we'll do shows, and there'll be people that don't know, and someone will talk about, back surgery, and someone will go, you had back surgery? And I go, yeah, two. And they're like, when you were a kid? And I'm like, well, I still think I'm a kid, but no. And they trip out, they go, there's no effing way, So, basically, that's what I'm saying. We wanted to get out there, get the excitement for suicidal back, rather than just put out a record and, then you tour off it, and people think you're just touring to tour off a record. So now that we've, been around the world a couple times and that type of situation, starting off with the first thing to put out, we felt, would be the DVD, and then we're putting out a lot of other cool stuff, and then the new suicidal record.
So, well, yeah, I mean, that now that you mention it, I saw you guys last summer in Germany, and I will never imagine that until I heard it on the DVD. So,
Yeah, and
oh.
see too, a lot of people, and they, you know, and even the band and even me, you know, because they know the situation, and they look and they go, while watching it, you know, afterwards, you know, as the time goes on, I go, you know what, you can't tell there was anything wrong. And I go, you know what, I can, because I remember third parts of the show just going, oh my gosh, this is killing me, and just the little looks and stuff, and they go, well, I can't tell it. And the people that know, it's funny because, you know, they all, a lot of my friends and stuff that were there, they've emailed back and they'd be, dude, I can't believe, you know, I totally forgot, you know, that's like when you had the second back surgery and then you did the show and stuff. So in that sense, I think it's cool, you know, not the smartest thing to do, but, you know, that's the way it is now.
So going back into that a little bit, why do you guys have so many people on the stage?
Well, it wasn't planned. When I got there, walked out, I was like, what the hell is going on here? And I think it was a little bit at the point that, you know, sometimes the security can be a little overwhelmed at a suicidal show.
Yeah.
And I think, like, they had a few people in there, and it was easier to let them in than to kind of ask them for the wristband kind of thing and stuff. And, you know, and then the friend gets the friend in there, and, you know, then there's so many people, it's really kind of hard to clear the stage. So you sit there and you go, that you look at it, and it goes back to the one where we simplified. It goes, it was a particular time, and that was what happened, you know. So it's funny because years and years ago, one of the first shows, Flipside Film, we played at Perkins Palace, and there were so many people on the stage, it looked like it was a little dinky, like there was no stage, and it was a little dinky club, and there was like, you know, 50, 60 people slamming in front of it. And I go, you know, actually, that was the stage, and there's a venue with 2,500 people in there, but, you know, it was different. And the Olympic, it's like the same thing. It's kind of like, it's just all the people there, like, yeah, I'm on stage.
And how comfortable was the whole band with this, where they were like, yeah, I mean, how was the experience for them, too?
I think one of the ones was that there's a bunch of stuff going on and behind the scenes, and there's the police were lining up outside, and it was like, you know what, we need to go on. So it said, get on now, and so we went on, and so you don't really have a lot of time to think about it. Like I said, the irony is that you're watching it on a DVD, you know, years later, you kind of like, a lot of things that happen and you look at it completely differently and stuff. But, yeah, there was no time to really think about it. It's just like, you know what, let's go up there and do it. And I think for everybody, too, they were aware, you know, it's like our actual drummer at the time was our bass player, Steve, and brother Ron played drums with us, and he couldn't do the show. So he had done the show in Columbia, and we had to have Dave fill in on drums. So besides not doing a show, you know, being the first show we did in a year and a half, it was, you know, with a different drummer, you know, filling in, and, you know, at a big show like that. So there's a lot of things that go, you know, they're going on, and you just have to put it out of your mind and, you know, let's do what we're here to do.
Yeah, exactly. And, I mean, the band's been around for almost 30 years now. Did you ever imagine that now you will still be going strong?
No, definitely not. I think, Flipside, you know, I mentioned that when I did the first interview. They said, what do you think you guys will be doing in 5 years? And I go, I don't know, but I doubt I'll be doing, you know, we'll be doing the band. And they said, why is that? And I go, because five-year plans don't work, you know? And they said, well, if you are a band, why would that be? And I go, well, it's because I, you know, took every day as it was and, you know, knew when to say no and only did the things I wanted to and kept it from being a job. And so for us, that's the most important thing, is keeping it from being a job and being more something that you're proud of. And so that's a totally different barometer and stuff. And I think that's why we're able to still be here, is because we haven't done the stuff that, you know, it's like, well, there's nothing else to do. You got to do this. It's like, nah, you don't have to do any of that stuff. And so I think we don't have any, you know, we're one of the few bands, or even like, we don't have those blackmail pictures. We don't have those, you know, that period we went through kind of thing and stuff that was coincidentally at the same time that there was some weird bad going on, you know, fashion-wise and music-wise and stuff. and I can go, hey, I'm proud to be here. And we take that same approach with every tour that we do and stuff. We can go on to make a statement, and if not, then there's no point in doing it.
And how do you see that? Do people also have, I mean, you guys have a different audience, but still the kind of reaction is the same in all the world. What do you think is that, even though, I mean, a lot of your music and lyrics is more identified with the American culture?
Well, the irony is that it took us quite a while to get around the world. In some places, like Australia, we didn't get there until 93. South America, you know, 93, and we did a bad 10, over 10 years, a lot of places we went to. But people that speak, specifically speak different languages, so many of them, because English isn't their first language, they really study to understand what it is, so they really take in consideration, you know, the lyrics. And when it's not, you know, straight English or whatever, you know, they really study it and stuff. So surprisingly, a lot of people in English, even the first language, are really into the band because of the lyrics, because they really studied them, and that they found it to be way more important to them. That reason why, because sometimes you, even with Suicide with in America, there's a lot of people that said, you know, I had this record, this song or whatever, I've listened to it 100 times, you know, I've had it for years, and then some situation happened in their life, and they, you know, put on the song they were listening to it, and all of a sudden it had a completely different meaning, and it went to a whole different level based on what it was. And I think that's kind of, you know, a situation, you know, not everything's going to relate to you, but sometimes something happens and you hear something, and all of a sudden it has a completely different meaning, or, you know, it has a much more powerful meaning and stuff, resonates a lot more and stuff. So I think that's great in a place like, surprising, like in France. We a couple times did a month tour in France alone, and, you know, it's not that big of a country, you know, so each show is an hour and a half away, and you get there, and the French are people that a lot of people, the tourists, they don't like, and they love you or they hate you, and sometimes they, but they always talk about their good part of the reason why they like the band and stuff, and, you know, so you sit there, and it's a completely different culture, and you'll go from, when you go from France to Germany, you know you're in a different country, and, you know, but it's really cool that, you know, so many different people, you know, get into the band and stuff.
And how do you think your philosophy of life and the way you portray it in your lyrics from before, how do you think it's changed till now?
Well, I think that there's, you know, not to backhandedly put me into a philosophical kind of argument or whatever, or complimentary terms, but, you know, someone like Buddha, you know, over the years he said a lot of things, but they all go together, you know, kind of thing. And even if you think there's some difference there, there's a lot of common sense. And that's the way I was brought up. My dad was a very common sense type of person. And some things that he said was maybe simple, but it had a really kind of ring to it. And some of it was just undeniable. And so I think for us, you know, there's a lot of things in life. You know, sometimes, you know, you point things out in a humorous way, tongue-in-cheek type of things, and sometimes you have to be blunt, sometimes you have to be, you know, incredibly honest, even though it's, you know, leaving yourself, you know, emotionally naked, so to speak, but it's music, and it's the merger between music and lyrics, and there should be a marriage between it. It should have a bond somehow, and kind of like I said with the first record, you couldn't take the lyrics from I Saw Your Mommy and switch it with institutionalized. It won't work, you know. And that's what I think a lot of times people go wrong. They write words on a piece of paper and they say it's a song, you know, and then they put it to some music and stuff, and never done that. And, you know, so to me, there's, like I said, a bond that makes sense to me. It may not make sense to other people, but that's important. And I think, you know, ultimately it goes back to, like I said, my dad again. And he said, you know, he goes, a lot of people use music as an escape from life. And he goes, music should be something to remind you of what's important in life. and when you're getting off on life, how to get back on the right track. And so that's the, you know, the kind of approach we take, you know. We're not trying to give you escape. We're trying to give you that, you know, that what we call kind of family love. The family love is not to sit there and go, gee, that's too bad that happened. It's like, you know what, let's take a second, step back real quick. You put yourself in that position. You knew if you were doing that, what was going to happen. If somebody else that you cared about was doing that, you would say, dude, what are you doing? You know what's going to happen. So why don't you do that to yourself? You know, stop yourself from doing the things you tell someone else that they're stupid for doing. You know?
And you just, you mentioned that you guys are working the new album. It's been almost 10 years since the last one. Can you tell us more about it?
Yeah, basically we got two suicidal. The first one is, I kind of called the Mike Clark record. Mike Clark's a guitar player. He got into suicidal after we recorded Join the Army, and he was in a band, No Mercy. And suicidal, we recorded some of the songs on that EP we did, Control by Hatred. And so we recorded some of the old Join the Army songs and some of the other No Mercy songs that he was in. And kind of the background with that is one of the things that Join the Army said, Shane Mike wasn't playing on that because you could hear the influence that he had in the band afterwards. And on How Will I Laugh, you know, which is the first one he played on, half of those songs actually were going to be, that me and Mike were going to be the follow-up to the second No Mercy record. So, the challenge with Mike was, it's kind of like, hey, let's get you on there, show you the Mike Clark thing, but not go back to, you know, the early 80s Mike Clark, but take it up to the, you know, to, you know, 2010, and basically not get crazy with distortion, which a lot of people do, play crazy fast in a way that other people don't. And when people hear it, they're going, you know what, that's play. And it challenged them, and it took them a while to actually be able to record the record, because not good enough. So another time kind of thing. And so I think that it was, you know, it's hard for someone, they think they do something their whole life, if that's good enough, to say, nah, you gotta go to another level. If you can't do it, then we're not doing this record, you know.
Yeah.
And ultimately, it's they talk about breaking people, ultimately he got broken, and I think afterwards he was surprised himself and stuff. And so I think that's important on more of the kind of metal and hard rock kind of side. And then on the second record, which is actually all new songs, you know, to me, I think it's the same barometer that we've had in the past. It's like, hey, when this record comes out, I think, you know, 15, 20 years from now, people will still be listening to it. And people that haven't heard it, someone's going to hear it 10 or 15 years and go, wow, that's way different than, you know, what other people are doing at this time. So I think it's going to be very important, and I think it's timeless in the sense that, you know, not many people could do these songs and say, oh, we need to get it out or it's going to be dated, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, 3 years, some of the songs are 3, 5, 7 years old, and it's brand new, and I don't think anyone will be able to tell the difference of what time it was written. And because I think it's timeless, and it's there's not going to be someone doing what we're doing. So I think that after some people hear it, after, you know, people talk crap about it, then there'll be other people that'll probably try to mimic it to a certain degree. So I think it's, yeah, definitely different than anything else that's out there.
And do you guys have any estimates on when are you going to release?
It should be, I think, in the summer, and then fall it should be out. So.
And do you guys have a touring plan in between or afterwards?
Well, right now we go in March. We go to Europe with Suicidal. We do some Suicidal shows and some Infection Zoo shows. And then I think we're doing gonna be 2 weeks in the States in May. And then we go back to Europe for the festival in June, July. And then after the record's out in the fall, then we'll do the stage tour.
What do you think you guys still get to do the main stages and the festivals, even though I mean, the band hasn't released anything in a while.
Well, one of the things is like, you have to do this good, last year when we were at some of the festivals, our agent was there, and he goes, he's never seen promoters that have gone, hey, I want to talk to singer, you know, the band or whatever. And he goes, you know, they got 3-day festivals, there's so much going on, because I've never had that happen. And a lot of them say, you know, it's basically, you know, it's a great show, whatever, they go, it's totally surprised that there could be a band that's been around as long as you guys are, and go out there and be like a brand new band, you know, like, you know, it's like, you know, the first show kind of thing, and just, you know, like, hey, with that attitude, we're going to, you know, we're going to destroy kind of thing. And so I think that's one of the things, you know, people say, you know, a lot of times when people are old, it's a nostalgic thing, and people go there for the one last time, and it goes, for you, it was like discovering a band for the first time again, which is way more important, you know, rather than be nostalgic and be effective, you know. And I think that's the point when people sit there and go, oh, yeah, I've seen them. It's like, damn. And, you know, on the festival, they always have the little poems afterwards and for the best band and then the most surprising band. And we were, you know, on all the festivals, we're in both the, you know, the best band full and the most surprising. And people say, how could that be? Because people have thought, you know, put us in the best band, and there's a lot of people that haven't seen us before, they didn't know what to expect, so they're like, we're the most surprising band to them. They're like, wow, this band is good. And so, I think that's the perfect scenario, rather than like, hey, wow, the last hurrah, you know, at the country fair.
Yeah, I mean, that is true, and like, I mean, I restate that when we saw them this summer, when you saw you guys this summer, it was like, you guys were 25 years old.
Well, Steve is 25, so two of them are 25.
Yeah, but I mean, the whole band.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things is having people that are in the band that have the excitement, and, you know, let's be honest, I've seen people that I go, it's just their job, you know, they're just going through the motions, you know, kind of thing. And that's one of the things that my dad says, if you see something you don't like it, then you're twice as bad for doing it. So, you know, we'll never go through the motions. We'll never commit to something unless we go there with, like, hey, let's go and destroy, you know, as we do.
So, I mean, just to wrap up the interview, so is there anything else that you guys have planned for the next few years? I mean, besides the two releases?
Well, we have, like, a lot of stuff that, it's funny, you can tell everybody, you know, a lot of people are bitter about the record industry or whatever, the business, and it's, you know, basically being broken and stuff, and, you know, it's, for me, putting out records in the past have always been a little painful, because you have to do, answer the inevitable questions, and a lot of times people come to you sales, you know, and sound piano, and this and that. Nobody asks you that now, you know, because nothing sells. So, I used to have to sit there and say, you know what, I don't care how many people buy it the first week. You know, I care about how many people are still listening to it, you know, 10 or 15 years later. You know, how many people, like I said, 10 or 15 years later are going to hear it for the first time and say, whoa, this is cool, you know. And or not say, wow, I can't believe people used to listen to that, you know. And so now it gives us an opportunity to put out a lot of things because we think it's cool, because they don't sell, you know. So it's that catch-22 that works in our advantage. So like I said, we have like a double-eyed CD from when Psycho Michael and the solo thing and the Section 2 tour together in 1995 in Europe with, you know, Robert playing bass, Robert Trujillo, and Foots Wapping and drum, you know, when he was 15 years old. And, you know, a lot of things like that you can put out, and people, you know, you play it to them, people go, wow, that's some crazy musicianship, you know. You don't hear that now, and you didn't hear that back then, you know. And so there's a lot of things you can put out that you don't have to sit there and worry about marketing again, worry about how you, you know, what genre you're trying to put it in, this and that. You can put it out and just let people discover it, and you know, download it, whatever they do or not, you know, and give them an opportunity to hear something and do the reason why we like music, you know, is when somebody likes it so much, you went, hey, dude, you got to listen to this, you know?
Yeah.
And what is that? Where was that from, you know? And to be able to discover some stuff, you know? So ultimately, I think that's cool. And so there's a lot of things like that we want to put out. And, you know, if you did years ago put it out, then it's like I said, it just like, looks like you're just trying to put out product and put out product to have something to sell. And, you know, now it's something because it doesn't sell. You can put it out and people go, wow, that's cool. I'm glad you put that out, you know?
So, okay, so I guess that's all our questions. Do you have anything else you want to add for your fans and our listeners?
No, cool. Just check it out. Hopefully we'll see you on our next tour. And, you know, obviously, thanks to all the people that supported us a long time. We appreciate it. And, you know, we'll back at that truck.
Okay, well, thank you very much, and good luck with the rest of your press day.
Yeah,